Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name, and especially welcome any visitors in his precious name as well. And just the invitation to the tea and coffee after the service, just through in the smaller hall there, just a wee time of fellowship, wee time just to share together and be together. A reminder too, there's an offering, a retiring offering, just after this service for the work of the church. And next week's service is down at Ardeer at 10:30 for the remembrance, and then 1:30 at the memorial. And there's an intimation for me to remember. Any articles that you may have for the December issue of the Livingston Herald, please either to Catherine Reid or emailed today. Today. Oops. Maureen, you know what I'm doing this afternoon? As well as preparing a talk for the Guild on Tuesday. At 1:30, which is the theme message, Go in Love. And for those who need, there's the free will offering envelopes available for the elders to pick up in the vestibule. A discipleship group meets at 10:30 on Tuesday morning. Again, what we're doing now is just to follow through where we were on the sermon this morning, and just to pick that pick it out a wee bit more and just have a general talk around that after time of worship. And there's still a final few tickets, it says there, remaining for the Livingston Players for the pantomime. And I tell you that without giving any wee secrets, I have been going along to have a wee look and to support people. You understand, my place is not on the stage, absolutely not. However, who said yet? However, it looks like it's going to be really, really good. So I encourage you, if you've not got a ticket, there's just a few left. We have an intimation from St. John's Parish Community. Once again, the charity Mary's Meals will be made a collection at St. John's on the weekend, 18th and 19th of November. St. John's Church Hall will be open on Saturday, 18th November, between 1 and 3 for bags of clothing, etc., which can be recycled and provide food for children. And it says here, Mary's Meals now feed over 1 million children. And I thank you for your continued support. That's from the priest Martin Poland. Another one that's not up on the screen is from Isabel Beck. She's running a bus from Kilwinning Old Parish Church to the MacArthur Glen Shopping Outlet on Wednesday, 14th November. Bus will leave from Stevenson Cross at 10 a.m. and will then pick up across from John Bennett's Funeral Parlour in Dalry Road. I need new teeth. Dalry Road, Kilwinning, at 10 a.m. The cost of the bus is at the moment is approximately £16, but that may go down depending on the numbers. If anyone would like to go on the shopping trip, please give your name to Ross after the service. It says that here. Did you not read that bit? To Ross after the service. Or contact Isabel, and her phone number's here. I'll leave it on the table if anybody wants to just pick it up and have a look. And the last thing for me is that the Three Towns care home, we're supposed to be setting last thing, supposed to be at Three Towns care home this afternoon, but for a number of reasons we've cancelled that. We'll try and get there another time. My plan is from January to start a communicants class. So anyone who wishes to explore membership to the church could come along to this. I'm also thinking that if anyone maybe just wants to revisit some of the stuff they did in a communicants class previously, it was 1993 when I went through a communicants class, and I know there'll be people who have done that maybe a year or two before me. That's called tact and diplomacy, maybe. But maybe there's folk here just want to remind themselves of what it is they talked about and committed to. And so maybe there's an opportunity for them to reaffirm their faith publicly if they wish. But the idea of the communicants class, we would look to people becoming members on the 18th of February so that they could be involved in taking communion on the communion service in March. These then are all the intimations. Come, let us through him continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruits of lips that acknowledge his name. Let's worship God. Morning has broken. Let's worship him. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, long ago people of Scripture were sure of your presence. And as they journeyed into the unknown, they relied upon you for support, trusting that you would always provide for them and bless them. And so as we come to you now in this time of worship, we now place our own lives in your hands. We come trusting that you will uphold us on our journey. You will feed us with your word, and you will clothe us with faith. We come together and we remember that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're the God of Moses and Joshua. You're the God of the kings and the prophets. You're the God of Jesus and the apostles. Now you're our loving God. And so we praise you and we bless you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we come to confess our sins, to tell you the things that we've done which haven't been of your ways, or the things that we should have done in your ways. And we come to tell you not because you don't know, but we come to tell you because we need to get that off our chests. We need to unload that and confess these things. Sometimes it's because we struggle to believe in your promises. And sometimes we realize when good things come our way that we've forgotten to thank you for providing them. And so as we worship this morning, we've come to say that we're sorry. And as we say we're sorry, we come to ask your forgiveness. Ask you would forgive us, and that by your Spirit we would know what your forgiveness means in our lives, the change, the release, the flow that we have. So awaken us to the reality of your presence with us and assure us of your love that never fails us. And as we now gather in our Father's home here in this place, let us affirm once more that you are our God. As we do that, we join our prayers in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And now as we continue to worship, we have this part from the Jam Club, the Jesus and Me, where we can hear and see what they've been doing over the last month.
Well, last month in October, our topic was the Good Samaritan, and we did another godly play, and then they drew some pictures, and we've been practicing the play that we're doing today. Now, it's a play with a difference, so you need to kind of, it's a modernisation. So we're just going to do the play now. The play is The Mean Green Dragon. Jesus told a story that went something like this.
Once upon a time, there was a woodcutter
who was too old to chop wood.
He spent his days sitting on a three-legged stool, watching the world go by.
One day, a young maiden came skipping down the path towards him.
Sweet.
No, scary. She was from the Little Red Riding Hood gang. And before you could say Humpty Dumpty, she knocked the woodcutter to the ground, broke his three-legged stool, and made off with the axe.
The poor woodcutter passed out with shock.
Not good, an old man like that lying in the ground. He could get hypothermia.
Before long, a noble knight in shining armour came galloping along the path. The noble knight spotted the woodcutter and got off his horse for a closer look.
I say, what do we have here?
He saw the poor old man was in a bad way.
This man needs help.
But the noble knight was trying to catch a mean green dragon before it reached the village on the other side of the forest.
So he jumped back off his horse and off he rode.
A few minutes passed.
And along came another noble knight in shining armour.
This second noble knight also spotted the poor woodcutter and got off her horse for a closer look.
I see, what do we have here?
He also saw the old man was in a bad way.
And then
because she too was trying to catch a mean green dragon before it reached the village on the other side of the forest.
This second knight jumped back on her horse and rode off.
By this stage, the poor woodcutter didn't know where he was or what was going on.
He was lapsing into a coma.
Which was probably a good thing, because next to the knife in the scene was, wait for it, a mean green dragon.
Come off it. That isn't a dragon. In my book, dragons breathe fire and have scales and a horn and a tail.
Excuse me, but can we just go on with the story? This old man's in a bad way.
Oh, all right then.
Even though he knew the woodcutter hated dragons, the mean green dragon covered the old man with his cloak.
And sent for an ambulance.
Then he rang a carpenter and asked him to make the woodcutter a new three-legged stool.
And paid for it with his visa.
Moments later, the sound of an ambulance siren broke the leafy silence.
Knowing the woodcutter would be in safe hands, the mean green dragon escaped to his home on the other side of the forest.
The woodcutter was taken to the hospital.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Except for one thing.
Which is?
Some folk are probably wondering why the mean green dragon had a mobile and a visa card instead of a horn and a tail.
Well, obviously it's because no one had time to make a dragon costume.
Wrong! It's because the mean green dragon was human. You see, Mean Green was the name of the village on the other side of the forest. The people who lived in the woodcutter's village nicknamed the people of Mean Green dragons because they hated them.
So the whole point of the story is that the mean green dragon was really a human being.
That's right. He was a big-hearted human being who loved his neighbour.
Even though his neighbour didn't love him back.
And that's what Jesus tells his followers to do.
Thank you very much for that. It was excellent. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for how we see things played out for us in the use of drama and the use of words. We thank you, Lord, that your word can come to us in so many different ways. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be open to seeing your word in so many different ways. And we give thanks for our jam club, for those that teach, for those who learn. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I don't know if people know the next song, Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a wee action to the chorus, and it's this. You need to know this, we can do this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Easy. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are saved. Okay. Marvelous. I want the hat though. It's a minion hat. Tried this morning and never got there. What I've done with it, the order of service, is just a few words of explanation, because there's a bit of work that Ross and I need to do about trying to let you see what it is that, and how I'm thinking about the order of service. But this first part, which is now in my head finished, the first part is the approach. The approach to God, the approach to our gathering together, the approach and the gathering of God's people in the place here where we begin to think about how we gather together for the word, how we gather together and begin to hear what it is that God's got to say for us. And this bit now, if there was a wee sign, it would say the word. And this bit of the service focuses on the scripture, on the word of God, and it has the reading and the sermon. So it's very much about looking at the word. And the last bit would be thanksgiving, which would include our prayer of thanksgiving, our offering and our prayer of thanksgiving, and prayer for others and dedication. And that's very much about our response to God. So as we approach, we come to hear him, that we hear the word and the word explained, and then we respond in thanksgiving. So that's kind of where we are. That's kind of how I'm looking at setting the service out, and saying, and time will maybe work out how that might appear on the screen, if indeed it can. We just need to think about that. We continue to worship with our next hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, a beautiful hymn. Let's just stand to worship. As we come then to our reading, the scripture, Psalm 134, is the last of the Psalms of Ascent. So we come before the word. I can't remember who's... I had a look at my list and then I couldn't remember. Thank you.
Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth.
Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word. And to him be all glory, honour and praise. Thank you, Susan. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. We sing again and worship him. It's hymn 81. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship and we praise you. And we come to learn more of you, to be closer disciples to our Lord Jesus Christ. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. We've come to the last of these Psalms of Ascent, and this one's very much about looking at the call to worship and the praising and the blessing and the whole idea of lifting your hands, that movement that's there. It's the last of these Psalms of Ascent. It's we've come through a whole process of them, but actually it was probably more about the priests in the temple than anyone else. But as we now look at the priesthood of all believers, then I believe that this psalm speaks to us in just exactly the same way as it would a priest in the temple. And so we come to think about what that means about lifting your hands in praise. Not something that people like to do, unless they're actions for a song. But we come to think about that and think about the blessing that God has. We've been through these songs, these psalms of ascent as the people rise up to Jerusalem to come to worship for the festivals. And we started off with repentance, providence, worship, service, help, security, joy, work, happiness, perseverance, hope, humility, obedience, community. And now we're right through here. These are all the themes that we've picked up from Eugene Peterson's book, Along Obedience in the Same Direction, Discipleship in an Instant Society. And I remember he wrote this in around 1980, with a reworking in 1990, I think it was. But he was talking about an instant society then. And the instant society of today fair beats the instant society of 1980. Even just thinking of the kind of equipment that we had. For instance, we didn't have computers. We didn't have a whole load of stuff that we rely on and actually think that we can get to right away. So our instant society is far more instant than it's ever been. But I believe that Eugene Peterson still speaks into these things for us. And the idea of discipleship today actually doesn't change from discipleship of yesterday. And I don't believe it'll change from discipleship tomorrow. For the things and the fruits of what we do will be the same in a different context. So we started off with repentance. Way back, end of June or the beginning of July, we started off with repentance. And the word used for repentance is teshubah. Teshubah. And it's actually that turning away from the world to the Lord. So it's an absolute physical turn, 180 degrees, where we turn away from facing the world to facing the Lord. And in that turn, we turn our back on the world and we open ourselves up to the Lord. That's what the repentance is about. And the first step of our discipleship is being able to repent of the things of the world, the things that have kept us from God. And we repent of those things to be released, to be with God, to follow him. So very much the idea of coming from repentance and going to blessing, from coming from that point of casting off the ways of the world to bringing on the ways of God. And for me, some of that's about that communicant class thing as well, where we have a time where people can explore together the whole process of how it was that they became members of the church, how they professed their faith, and what it is that they actually said, the prayer that they used when they came to faith, and that prayer of turning to Jesus. So we go from that moment of repentance to barakah, blessing. Blessing. We come to blessing. And that's where we now sit in a term or a sense of blessing from God. One of the words that the Hebrew language uses in the Old Testament for blessing is yeshur. And that's something that we feel when God blesses us. So it's actually something we feel, that we have that emotion, we're aware of that. And Psalm 1 says this: blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So that feeling of blessing, that feeling of being, meditating on God, on his ways, that idea of the tree planted by the stream of water. And we can get the picture and the feeling associated with that of just the quietness, the refreshment, the growth that's possible, the blessing that sits there. So Yeshur, it's that kind of feeling that we have when God blesses us. It's maybe one of a bit of awe as well that God has done something. And then the other word they use for blessing is baraka. Baraka. What God does to us and among us. So that's the act of God blessing. So when you see the word baraka, if you were to read it in Hebrew, you would see that's what God was doing. That's how he is among us. It's what he does with us and for us and among us, as opposed to what we feel. So here, as we turn to him in discipleship, we have a sense of the Yashar, the blessing of Yashar, of what we feel because of that blessing, but we can also start to look at the baraka, what God does, how is he blessing us, and what it is that actually happens. And so we have that moment of, and that movement where we've gone from repentance to blessing. Next slide. And in that, we begin to understand more about maybe what the psalmist is saying in terms of lifting our hands in the sanctuary. And it's Calvin that asks the question, for why do men lift their hands when they pray? And he writes, is it not that their hearts may be raised at the same time to God? So the idea of lifting their hands when they pray lifts their hearts as well. Here's a movement, here's a moment. And we know the story from the Gospels about the person who timed it, that he got to the stairs or the steps of the temple for the time of prayer and had to stand there with his arms stretched out and pray. That was the praying position. They would pray with their arms up, their arms out, lifting their hands in praise and in prayer. But people would use that to show how good they were at prayer. There's one of our flaws in all this. But the whole idea of it is that their hearts may be raised at the same time to God. So as they lift their hands, they lift their hearts, they're opening themselves up to the living God, the one true God. And for us, that one true God who's given us Jesus Christ for our redemption. So it's even just thinking about how we are and what the psalm is saying. Maybe we might not like to stand in prayer here with our arms out, but maybe it's a more comfortable thing to do in the house, in the quiet, but there's an action. Next slide, please. And this is another place we come to. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, the first question is this: who is, or what is, the chief end of man? What is man's chief end? What's our purpose? Why are we here? What's it all about? These are the kind of questions that go around that. What's the chief end of man? What is it that we are really supposed to be doing? And the answer to that question from the Westminster Shorter Catechism is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. There's the first purpose. That's what we're about. That's what we're about. It's about following him, to glorify him, to give our lives to him, and to enjoy him. Because as we've seen through looking through all these different psalms and looking at discipleship, we have joy, we have happiness, we have that blessing from God. And so we actually come to a point where it's really quite sacramental, maybe sacramental with a small s. I remember when I was at St. Andrews and the practical theology lecturer was talking through some bits and pieces about how we are and who we are and what we do, and he said that we are sacramental. As people, we are sacramental. And what he was really meaning, because I couldn't get it at first, but actually, it's not as a sacrament as in what we see of communion and baptism, but more of how we are and what we do, how we become. And part of that lifting our hands is our submission in sacrament, where we actually come before God and open ourselves up. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and be Lord in my life. Come and let's pray together. So that sacramental aspect, and we've seen there'll be people who maybe prefer to kneel. Perhaps there'll be people who like to prostrate themselves across the floor. And maybe there's people just like to sit quietly in a chair with their heads bowed. But whatever it is, we're giving of ourselves. And even if we're at that point of walking, we can be sacramental by doing a prayer walk. As you walk through the streets and you look at the houses and you pray for the people, we can be sacramental in our giving and how we do that. And that's all about our praising. But it's all about all of us. All of us. Our whole being, that holistic thing, our whole being. Body, mind and soul. It's about everything that we are. And giving that to God. Because after all, that's what he said. It's a commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. That's what God wants us to do, is to love him, to glorify him, to enjoy him forever with everything that we have. And as we get into that right position, that righteous position with him, we are blessed. We are blessed. We can know what that yasha means, that blessing. But actually there's something a bit more than that as well. For we can be a blessing. We can be a blessing, that we can share that blessing with others, that we can affirm each other, that we can be with each other, that we can support each other, that we can encourage each other, we can be a blessing. That we take the burden from others, even if it's in a prayer or just helping them in some way or listening to them, that we can be a blessing. And that's where that was, we went last week in that community, that harmony, that unity. This is where we get to. This blessing is all about coming together and coming together first with God and then with each other. And we come into a unity and a harmony. And actually, remember from last week, was that God said that where there was harmony and unity, he bestows his blessing. Other versions read about God's blessing is commanded there. But God cannot withhold his blessing where there's harmony and there's unity. And when we think about church, we've come to be his people. And this is a place of harmony and blessing and unity. a place of being together and sharing together and working together to glorify God, to see how it is and what it is about his kingdom that needs to be here. And although this series of sermons is now finished with this one, that doesn't mean to say that I'm going to forget about discipleship. Discipleship for me is very important. And as we look to our future and look to the path of renewal, hopefully starting in January, then we look at discipleship and mission. And one of the important things for me, and Rob Barlow and I had a long discussion just a couple of weeks ago about this, is it's all very well saying we need to be missional and we need to be pointing out there and we need to go and do out there. It's all very well saying all that, and it's all very well putting things in practice that maybe get us out there or encourage people to come in and take part in messy church and all sorts of other things. But the discipleship bit has got to be done first. How do we know what to say to people if we're not disciples of Christ? How do we know what to do when we're engaging people if we're not disciples of Christ? If we've not taken that time. And so for me, the discipleship's important. It leads to the missional aspect. And I believe that if we go that journey, I believe that if we become that harmony and unity, I believe that God will bestow his blessing upon us. And that will make this place look different. I don't know if it means there'll be more people on a Sunday morning, but there might be people in a messy church. There might be other things that are going on where people are coming to different things. I don't know what it means. My calling is to follow and to be a disciple and to share that discipling with those that have been called to be ministered to. So as we move forward, I really think we're on a point of a time of excitement, a time of movement, a time of building in God's way. My prayer, it'll be a time of grace. We come together and we worship and we know what his blessing is and we can feel his blessing and we can be a blessing. As his disciple, we're blessed. As his disciple, we're called to be a blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And we move into our time of offering, of thanksgiving with our offering. As we come to this time of prayer, of thanksgiving, and praying for others and dedicating ourselves once more to the Lord. So we remember the prayers on the prayer tree. From the prayer diary of Crossreach Rainbow House in Glasgow, which is a residential rehabilitation service for people who are facing addiction and related issues. From the Presbytery prayer diary, we remember Beath Parish Church, the Reverend Roddy MacDonald and the Deaconess Fiona Blair, and the Presbytery Mission Committee, the Reverend Elizabeth Watson. These are things that we can remember, things of for Thanksgiving, things we have joined. There's things in our own hearts that we have that we maybe want to give thanks for. We also know these things of concern that we see in the world, we see in the news, and it doesn't take long again to see where there's brokenness and where there's destruction and violence and where you just see these signs of broken people who do not treat each other well, who abuse each other. Now, this aspect of the sexual abuse stuff that's going around, the shouts about harassment and all that, and what's all that about? Things that we can bring to God for prayer. So let's join together in prayer. Loving and generous God, provider, we come to you with thankful hearts and we rejoice in your goodness towards us and in the many blessings that we receive every day. Father, you come to us and you provide for our needs and you accompany us along our journeys, along our ways. We thank you too for the physical gifts that sustain us. We thank you for the fresh water into our homes, the bread on our tables. And we can rejoice too that Jesus used such everyday things as signs to help us in our journeying. And so we give thanks for the good things that we enjoy. And we also bring you now our prayers for the world. Father, we commend to you, to your care, all who are in need, and we commit ourselves into your service. And Father, as we do that, we dedicate ourselves once again just to be one of your children. And we present before you these our offerings. That through these offerings and through ourselves we may see your kingdom come in this place. We pray for those whose lives seem devoid of blessing, who lack the basic things that we might take for granted. We commend to your care any who are affected by disaster or war, those who lack food or water or medicine. Help us to hear Christ's whisper of love, calling us to respond to our neighbour's needs. Make us generous and open-hearted people, that others may enjoy life in all its fullness. We pray for those who are in position of authority and in government or in councils, for those who respond to our emergencies. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them wisdom and compassion in all the decisions that they take. Pray, Lord, that you would grant courage and determination to them wherever they have difficult work to do. And so, loving God, in a moment of quietness, we now bring you our own personal prayers, commending to your kindness and care any who are in our thoughts today. As we call to mind the names and the faces of those for whom we care, we remember also to pray for ourselves. Heavenly Father, we rejoice that you have listened to these prayers, the words that have been spoken, and also the silent meditation of our hearts. We offer them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, whom with you and the Holy Spirit is to be glorified as one God forever. Amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's worship him. Go now to love and to serve the Lord your God, the Lord who loves you first, the Lord who blesses you, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.